As I was preparing for this week's teaching, as we've already had one session already this week, the Lord deposited a little picture into my heart, and he reminded me of something that I do quite regularly, and it's I do the shopping in our house. I'm never out of the supermarkets. I'm sure you're probably the same. And quite often when I've been at the supermarket, on my way back, I will phone husband, because that's what he's listed as under in my phone. And it comes up, phone husband. So, phone husband. And I'll say, I'm on my way. I know it sounds like a proclaimer song, but it's actually... oh, you're in good fine tune this evening. So I'll say, I'm on my way. And the reason why I do that is so that he's there to greet me, ladies. Because you see, as I'm dragging the shopping bags out the car, I'm hoping that immediately he's going to say, hello, darling, and he's going to lift those heavy shopping bags off me at the door, because I've done enough. And I'm tired, and my arms are sore, and I'm wondering, as I'm preparing for this week, this teaching session, and I'm thinking, that's what we want to happen tonight. As we come heavy laden this evening, and maybe some of you have had one of those kind of weeks, as you come through the door this evening, you don't need to make a phone call, because the Master's already here. He knew that you would be here, and his desire is to unburden you. So just as we prayed at the beginning there, that was a moment of pause, a peace pause, just to give him the heavy load. Whatever it is, whatever's been weighing you down today, whatever's caught your attention this last couple of days and has been heavy, give it to him tonight, because he can handle it, so that your load would be lighter. Amen. So we have reached number 5 in our 5 ways to grow your faith. Amen. Have you enjoyed it so far? Good. That doesn't mean that you don't turn up next week, because it's a 6-week session. So we hope to see you all back next week as we review 2023. Wow, what a year we've had at Women to Women. But in this last series, we've been looking in particular at how to grow our faith. You see, this year, we've been looking at the heroes and the heroines of the faith. We've been watching their lives. We've been looking at how they did it, how they survived, how they ministered, how they praised and worshipped, how they were in their relationship with the Father. And we've asked the question, how do I have faith like that? I want to have big, bold faith like that. So in this last series, we've been looking at just that. We've been looking at how we can grow our faith. And so far, we've studied that we can grow our faith through practical teaching. That was number 1, practical teaching. That's reading the Word of God, not just reading it though, but applying it to your life. And then we moved on in week 2, and I think probably one of my favorites, we looked at providential relationships. Yes, not just any old relationship. That we acknowledge that we are in that relationship with that person because God designed it. That he brought that person into your life to help grow your faith, or vice versa. And we've been contemplating the relationships that are in our lives right now. Who are the people that God has brought into your life right now that you are there to help them? You are there for them. You are their lifeline right now. They need you. You are there to help to grow their faith. Providential relationships. Then we moved on and we looked at that lovely word that you all loved so much. Private discipline. When we say discipline, it makes us all go, ugh, do we have to? Seems like hard work. But we talked about it actually being something quite beautiful. That when we spend time in the Master's arms, when we invest time in prayer, in praise, in worship, in communion, in reading our Bibles, it grows our faith. Especially when you pray something today and tomorrow you see it answered. That grows, it certainly grows my faith, and I hope it grows your faith. And then last week, we looked at personal ministry. God grows our faith when we step out for him. When we step out and we trust him, even when we feel inadequate, even when we feel small, but we know that he is the one that is strengthening us. He is the one that's equipping us to do whatever it is he's asked us to do. And in those moments, you know, because you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know that he's the one that's equipping you in those moments, and it certainly does build your faith. So we've been looking at how to grow our faith, and it's wonderful news to know that we can actually grow our faith. So does that mean, ladies, that the Christian life is plain sailing? Yeah. Has your week been like a walk in the park on a summer's day? Didn't think so. There are good days, hallelujah, amen, and we need to praise and give thanks for those days, but there are some not so good days, there are some in between days. However, in all things, in all situations, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called to his purpose for their life. God is at work, and he can grow your faith through all circumstances in your life. The highs, the lows, the mountains and the valleys. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, is wasted with God. Amen. So, have you ever considered the fact that your personal circumstances and your personal situations that you're going through right now, that they are actually opportunities for you to grow your faith? God is actually stretching your spiritual understanding, even in and through what you're going through today. He is. Especially if it's in a low. Especially if you're in a valley right now. He is growing your faith. In those times of pain, in those times of suffering, he is developing in you strength. Now, I know at the time when we're going through hard stuff, and if you're here tonight, you might be going through some difficult stuff right now in your life, some tricky situations. And I know from my own experience in life, when we're going through these trials, you don't stop and go, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm going through this hard time." You don't stop and go, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, my heart is breaking, but at least my faith is growing." Anybody done that? I don't know. I've never met anyone that has actually said those words. It's hard. It's difficult. But even in those moments of our life, he is, of course, growing our faith. But quite often, it's not until we've come through the other end of it, when we see the light at the end of the tunnel, do we realize, wait a wee minute here. God was with me in that valley. God sustained me in that valley. God provided me and the ones that I love with everything that I need right now. And actually, it has spiritually grown my faith. I hear it all the time in folks' testimonies. I was going through a really difficult time, and then God revealed himself to me in this particular way. I was broken, and he mended me. I was lost, and he found me. Or this happened, and I experienced this, but I experienced the Lord's presence in a way that I never ever thought was possible. Or I received this result, but then I knew that God was in it, or I immediately opened my Bible, or someone immediately in that moment or that situation spoke these words. Our personal circumstances in life, quite often those hard times have the potential to grow our faith. That's our topic. That's number 5. How does God grow our faith? Well, he will grow your faith through pivotal circumstances. That's number 5. Pivotal circumstances. And as a pastor, I've heard many, many people's stories of their pivotal circumstances, where hard times in particular in people's lives actually were opportunities to grow their faith. So tonight, number 5, our final point in how to grow your faith is through your pivotal circumstances. So what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to think of a happy time in your life. Might have been today, might have been this week, might have been in the past. A happy time in your life. But it was a time that brought great joy, but it was also a time that stretched your faith. Just have a think about that for a moment. You don't need to share it because we don't have enough time, but have a think about that. A time in your life, a situation that brought great joy and happiness. But at the same time, when you reflect upon it, God was stretching your faith. Maybe it was in some kind of training, maybe it was a new job, it was a happy time, but you were stretching your faith. Maybe it was a relationship, a marriage, it was stretching your faith. A happy time. You know, as I pondered this, I thought I've had lots of happy times, but I was trying to think about, well, how did God stretch my faith during that happy time? And then I thought immediately about my children. I thought immediately about my babies. They're not so babies anymore. Because, you know, they were wonderful times in my life. They were happy times. I was getting ready to have the baby and, you know, but it was times where I had to go on my knees. It was times where I had to pray and I had to ask God to be with me and to guide me and to lead me and supply me with the strength that I needed and then the strength for the birth and then the strength to be a mummy. So there were happy times in my life. They brought me great joy, but there were also times that stretched my faith because my prayer life, for a start, changed when I became a mummy. It changed in a big, big way. And you can put your own circumstance in there because not everybody is a mother, but maybe there's some other opportunity that was in your life or some situation or encounter that was in your life and it was a joyous time. But when you think about it, it was also a time in your life that stretched your faith. Coming to a new church, finding a new church that is the right church for you. Isn't that a wonderful moment when you know you've found your spiritual home? And you're just like, I feel so joyful. This is a right fit. These are my people. I love this place. I cannot wait to go there at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It is a joyful moment in our lives. But it also stretches our faith because it's our learning environment, isn't it? It's where we come to learn about Jesus. So there'll be many stories, and if I was to go around the room tonight, you would all share your wonderful stories with me. But as I've said already, our life isn't full of happy stories all the time. And there will be times in our lives where we'll be going through difficult times. And right now, you might not be able to see what exactly it is God is doing, but maybe it's not over yet. But maybe tonight you can testify to times in the past where you went through a valley and God came through for you. And you can testify to that this evening. James, the brother of Jesus, writes this. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Let me read it to you in the message because I think it fits really well with our theme this evening of growing our faith. Consider it sheer gift, dear friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colours. So don't try to get out of it prematurely. Let it do its work. So you become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. God is at work. He's at work in you within that situation. When we go through trials, resting on Him, depending on Him, He will not only give you the comfort and strength that you need to withstand those trials, but He will grow your faith in the process. So I asked you to ponder that joyous time in your life, that joyous moment in your life that actually stretched your spiritual muscle and your faith. Now think about a difficult time. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was many years ago, maybe it was today. A time where you were worried, a time where you were anxious, a time where you were waiting for tests, a time where you weren't feeling too well, a time when you were encountering relationship issues, a time where you were worried over a loved one or the life of a loved one, a difficult, difficult season. You know, if I went round the room this evening, I'm sure we would all have a story to share. And I'm also certain that if I went round you all personally this evening, those of us that are walking with Christ, I am sure that I would hear one story after another story of how even during that testing time that God produced within you perseverance and endurance, and he strengthened your character and he created you to be the big, bold woman of faith that you are today. I know I've shared my joyous moments with you, where God really stretched my faith and taught me how to really pray hard. And that was when I was having my children. But when I pondered my own moment, my lowest point, and I've had a few ladies, it was also relating to having a child. And I know that many of you know that Gordon and I lost a child 14 years ago. He died shortly after he was born. His name was Joshua. And I never knew pain existed like this pain until that moment in my life. But let me tell you something. During one of the most difficult, trying, painful experiences of our life, it was a time of strengthening, a time of growing our faith. And our family's faith, our children, Madeline and Gabriella, our faith grew daily at that particular time. You see, quite often in those dark and desperate times, we can go one way or the other, and you see it. This is why we need to have roots that grow down deep, because we see it in people. They go one way or the other. Sometimes they sadly push away from God. They move further away from God. They stop coming to church. They stop connecting with godly friends. However, for others, during those valley moments in their life, they know that there is only one way to get through this. There's only one way to survive this trial, and it is to cling on to Jesus. It's to hold on to Jesus with everything that we have inside of us. And it's in those times of our life that God will, the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, will reveal himself to you in ways that you would never, ever imagine. He will grow your faith. So now we're going to look at a time in two sisters' lives, a time of sorrow, a time of grief and sadness, and maybe you know what it feels like to grieve. Martha and Mary. And it's a time of loss because they have just experienced the loss of their brother Lazarus. So let me turn now to John 11, 1-6. There was a man named Lazarus, and he was sick, and he lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for another 2 days. Amen. This is the story of Lazarus' death. And I know you know the end. So the resurrection of Lazarus. It's a great story. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were close friends of Jesus. Jesus loved them. He spent time with them. He ate with them. He visited them. The worship day this year, if you were at the worship day, you will have heard the story of Martha and Mary at that. And we discover that he's died. The brother has died. And in hearing this news, Jesus doesn't stop what he's doing and immediately go to him. No. He decides to wait and go 2 days later. What on earth is going on? So before he goes, in verse 11 to 15, he talks a little to the disciples about what actually is going on. And as we heard last week, this is another teaching point for the disciples, trying to figure out where their faith lies, who their trust is in. And as we heard last week, they didn't always get it. So what happens next? Well, you see, the news of Lazarus, his friend, has come to his attention. He's very sick. He doesn't just stop what he's doing and head right over there. As I've said, there's a couple of days. Now, the disciples and everybody else are all a wee bit confused about what's actually going on here. So reading from verse 7 to 14. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Hallelujah. But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was simply sleeping. But what Jesus meant was that, look, Lazarus has died, and I'm going to go and wake him up. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Wait for this next bit. "And for your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see." So he begins to make his way towards the grave. But before he does that, he speaks to the disciples. And in verse 15, I wonder if this stood out to you. He says to them, "I'm glad I wasn't there." I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm a bit like, what on earth? What on earth? Is this the Jesus that I know? Is this the Jesus that is compassionate and never turns anybody? What on earth is going on here? I thought he loved this family, did he not? I mean, what about Martha and Mary? Did he not care that their hearts would have been broken at this point? Because that's what you're thinking, is it not, when you read this? What about poor Martha and Mary, Jesus? You love them. Why aren't you rushing to their side right now? They are grieving. They are in a dark place today. It's not been a good week for them, Jesus. But what is he saying? "I am glad because now I'm about to teach you a lesson that is greater than the pain you feel within. I'm about to reveal to you a power, the power within my capability, so that it will grow your faith." Wow. "I'm about to reveal an even greater aspect of my character and my power in and through the circumstance that you're going through right now." Now, I know that if you've come through that door this evening, and you felt like that woman with the heavy bags, and I'm saying to you, yeah, he's allowing you to carry those heavy bags because he wants to teach you something right now. I know right now you want to put your coat on and leave. Can I encourage you to stay with this? Stay with this. "I'm glad so that you can learn. I'm glad so that we can grow your faith." You see, no one gets this because there's pain here. There's real pain here in the sisters. There's sorrow, there's loss, there's grief. So it's hard to actually see when we're in a moment like that, when we're in a season like that. It's so hard to see that actually Jesus is doing something quite spectacular, or that he's about to do something quite spectacular. The reason why I allowed this suffering is so that you may witness what I'm about to do in and through your personal circumstance. God grows our faith through our pivotal circumstances. I know what you're thinking. Did he cause this suffering that I'm going through right now? He doesn't cause your suffering, but he can do something amazing in it. He can turn what seems like ashes into something beautiful. He can mend that which is broken. He can find that which is lost. Why? Why did you allow it? Why did you allow it? Well, because of your faith. To grow your faith. Because growing your faith in your circumstances is possible and is important. And you're thinking, surely not. Would Jesus allow Mary and Martha to go through this and Lazarus to die just so that he could teach them a lesson about faith? Is this true, Jesus? That you would actually allow what I'm going through right now in my life just so that I could become a strong, godly woman? Jesus is saying to you tonight, yep. Yes, I would. I would allow those tears that you've shed the last couple of days to happen to you so that you can become a stronger, godly woman. Now, I know what you're thinking. This is dramatic. This is hard to comprehend. It is. This is probably one of the most dramatic teaching moments in the ministry of Jesus, I think. This goes up against everything that we could possibly believe in, that Jesus might have just set this up so that their faith could be stretched. Martha says to him when he gets there, "This would not have happened if you had have been here." I wonder if you've ever cried that out to God. Where are you? Where were you? I needed you. I needed you at that exact moment. I've been praying to you for weeks and I have had no answer. I have been asking you to guide me, Jesus, and you have not answered, and I am still waiting. Where were you, Jesus? Why are you allowing this suffering in the world? Why are you allowing good things to happen to bad people, God? And whereas good people are suffering, or God, why have you allowed me to suffer? Why did you bring me this far and then allow this to happen to me? Everything was going great. And now this. Why did you not come through for me, Jesus? And you can imagine that that's exactly how the sisters felt. Jesus, we had to watch him die. And I had to listen to all those naysayers and doubters and all those folks say, "Oh, he's not going to come. Just give up." I preached that on Sunday. The voice of the crowd telling you, "It's over for Lazarus. Don't put your trust in Jesus. He's not going to come through for you." You didn't come, Jesus. I wanted you to come. I needed you to come, but you didn't come. That's what Martha said. "But I know, but I believe," she says. "I trust that God will give you whatever you ask, but even though you did not come, I believe that whatever I ask you will be given. I know you will do it." So even though her brother is dead, even though her heart is broken, there is still a flicker of faith within Martha that says, even though I'm going through this pain, I still believe. I still believe. Shortly after my son died, my friend Gabby gave me a CD. It was by a Christian singer-songwriter called Jeremy Camp. And if you know Jeremy Camp's story, then you will know the significance of those words. I still believe. Even though my heart is breaking right now, God, I still believe. Even though I am walking through the darkest valley, I still believe. I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. Can you say it tonight? Even though I'm going through this, I still believe that you're here. I still believe that you're with me. I still believe that you're fighting for me. I still believe. And then he goes on to reveal the truth. So even though our brother is dead, even though our heart is breaking, there is that flicker of belief. And she says, I know that whatever I ask you, it will be done. Her brother is dead and he's in the grave, but there's still that faith within her that Jesus is now here. And he goes on to reveal the truth. Jesus told her, your brother will rise. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. She's talking about Old Testament prophecy and all of the rest of it. But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? So he's telling her, look, everything you need is right here because I am here and I am the resurrection and I am the life. Abide. Ladies and gentlemen that attend Abide on a Wednesday, we are looking at the I am, in fact, that was this week's, the I am statements of Jesus. And Jesus here is revealing not only to Martha and Mary, to the disciples and all the naysayers and doubters exactly who he is. And it doesn't matter if it took him 2 days later to get there because he's there and he is the resurrection and the life. So if he hasn't answered your prayer yet, if you're still waiting for him to turn up yet, let me tell you something, he's already here. And he is life to you. And anyone who believes in him, anyone who trusts in me will live even though they die. And he asks her, do you believe? This is about your faith in me. This is to do with your trust in me and in my ability. I would go to this length. Yes, I would. I would go to this length. I would allow you to suffer just so I could teach you a lesson in growing your faith. So do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she said to him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. I believe that even though you didn't come through when I asked you to come through at the exact time that I asked you to come through and do it in the exact way that I prayed that you would do it, even though other people mocked me as I stood and waited for you, even though I stood there and said, he'll come through, and they said, don't talk rubbish. I believe that even though you didn't come when I wanted you to be here, despite all of that, Jesus, I still believe. So that might not change the situation and the circumstances in which you are going through right now. They may still be the same at 8:35 this evening. But let me ask you the question, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Because he says that he is the resurrection and the life. And he has the power to heal, to save, and to transform. Amen. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, Jesus, even though everything in my life is not perfect right now, I believe. And he turns to the tomb. And he mourns with him, shows this compassion because he has compassion for you. He cares about the things that you care about. He has seen your tears this week and he has cried along with you at your suffering. He mourns with him. He gets the servants to remove the stone. Now let's not forget, that body's been in there for 4 days. It's stinking. is absolutely stinking. And Jesus does a very odd thing. We once at Abide looked at the prayers of Jesus. See what you're missing on a Wednesday. We looked at the prayers of Jesus. This is one of the prayers of Jesus because he looks up to God. He doesn't need to do this, but he does it. And he prays about what he's about to do because he's shown everybody, look, me and the Father were one. I am God. We are one. And he prays. Lazarus, come forth. And Mary and Martha, the disciples and the eyewitnesses, they watch as the dead man walks out of the tomb. And here lies the end of the story. But what an incredible moment. Such a pivotal circumstance. I think that one trumps mine. Not only did Mary and Martha and Lazarus witness the power of the Lord to heal, to save, and transform, but so did everyone else that day. You see, you might be going through something right now, something so sore, something so painful, but when you put your faith and trust in God, not only will it strengthen your faith, but other people are watching. They're watching how you react. They're watching how you respond. And what does it say? Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Ladies, Jesus didn't simply leverage a painful situation. He created one in order to show the connection between our pivotal circumstances and growing our faith. God will use everything and anything that we will go through in our life. He will turn what seems like evil into good. And he will help you in those times. He will strengthen you. He is the light in the darkness. We will all have stories this evening of circumstances and situations in our life where God came through and he grew and he stretched our faith. Wilderness seasons that were barren and empty that actually ended with a stream of water flooding into our lives, that refreshing and restoration. So what are you going through right now? How might God be stretching your faith in this time right now? Now, I know that we don't go around saying, oh, I'm having a hard time right now, but praise God, it's developing a strength of character and perseverance. But what if we did? What if we did? What if you said, you know what, I'm going through a really difficult time right now, but you know what? I know that God is using this time to strengthen my spiritual muscle. I know that this is rubbish. That's a bad word there. I know that this is rubbish, but I know at the end of this, I will be a better woman for it. I will be a stronger woman for it because I will know that my Redeemer lives. And I will know that he is the one that brought me through it and all glory goes to him. So I'm going to finish off with a personal story again, but it fits with the personal stories that I've shared already. 6 weeks after my son died, we were invited to go back to the hospital where he had died for the post-mortem. And I can tell you, I was not looking forward to this day. I was dreading it. Because here's the thing, if you've ever lost a child, or if you've ever lost a loved one to circumstances that were sudden, you want to know. You want to know, why did he die? You know, and as a mum, you question, was it something that I did? Did I not take enough folic acid? Did I eat the wrong foods? What did I do? Did I not rest enough? What did I do? So it was an important moment, but I wasn't looking forward to it. Now, in the story, Jesus talks about the glory of God. What I'm about to do. This is what I'm about to do here. And the glory of God will be revealed. You see, the glory of God is revealed in and through your personal circumstances. So we got up that morning and we were nervous. And I had my private discipline time. And I opened up my Bible and I was reading from, I think it's John 9. And it talks about the man that was blind from birth. And everybody in the story, they're asking, why? Why is this man? Why was he blind from birth? Because in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, if someone had a disability, they blamed the parents. What did the parents do? What did they do to cause this sickness? What did they do to cause this disability? And of course, that's a wrong way of thinking. Jesus heals the blind man. But in the story, it says this happened so that my glory may be revealed. Now, in that moment, as the Lord is speaking to me through his word during my private discipline time, I knew that God was answering my question. I knew that God was answering my prayer because that was the day in the diary where I was going to find out why my son had died. Now, I could easily have got angry with God. Many people will get angry with God for such an occasion in their life. I understand that. And I was wanting to know, why did you take my boy? And we were going to find the answer out that day, but here was the answer in his word. It happened, Debbie, so that my glory may be revealed in and through the circumstance. Did it make the circumstance any easier? No. So I went to my husband and I said, look, we're not going to know. We're going to go to the hospital today and they're not going to tell us. They're not going to know why. And he says, calm down, you're all right. And he just thought I was unraveling. I says, no, you're not getting it. God's already told me. He died so that his glory may be revealed. And he's like, that's good. We went to the appointment. We sat there with the three top consultants. There was papers all over the table in front of us. And the top consultant, pediatrician, whatever, you want to call her, she says to me, I'm really sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Orr, but we can't tell you why your son died. We just don't know. That was okay. I smiled. She probably thought I was off my head. But I knew in my heart, this happened so that his glory may be revealed. And let me tell you something, that wee boy might have only lived for 1 hour, but God's glory has been revealed in and through that 1 hour of his life, time and time and time and time again. So I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know if this is a season of mountaintops, and if it is, praise be to God. God will stretch and grow your faith in those days and in those times. But maybe you're here tonight and you're going through something that is a wee bit more difficult. Can I encourage you, like Martha, believe. Just believe. You might not have the answers. You might not have the solutions. And yes, it hurts like hell. But can I encourage you to just believe? So we've come to the end of our five ways to grow our faith. I really hope that you've enjoyed this series. Next week, we're going to bring this to a close. We're going to reflect, we're going to ponder the year gone by. We're going to pick out those highlights from the year. We're going to, give thanks to God for what's been an incredible year. So we're just going to pray now. And can I say that if you're here this evening and there is something going on in your life right now, in the life of a loved one right now, don't leave here without receiving prayer ministry. The team will be at the cross at the end. And we will be more than happy to pray for you. Just come to the side and a couple of the ladies will be here to pray with you. But if you're here this evening and this was for you, let's close our eyes. Let's open up our palms. Lord God, we give thanks. We thank you, Father God, that nothing is wasted with you. We thank you, Lord God, that you see us and you see exactly what we're going through in our lives right now. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to trust you in the good days and in the not so good days. And for anyone that's here this evening that finds themselves going through a tough time, I pray, Father God, that right now that they would just release that into your hands. And Lord, as they release it into your mighty, capable hands right now, I pray that you would do an exchange with them. I pray that you would give them the patience, the resilience, the endurance, the trust, the hope that they need to hope in you, God, because you are our hope. You are our hope ever after. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you can use every situation in our life. You can turn that was meant for evil into good. You can transform ashes into something beautiful. You can take the most painful parts of our life and you can reveal your glory. So help us, Lord, to continue to believe in you. Believe that you are who you say you are. You are the great I am. You are the resurrection and the life. So we give thanks for this series. We look forward to bringing it to a close next week, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to end this year at Women to Women on a joyous, happy note. In Jesus' name, amen.